Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC, and so most of these sermons are from me. So if I were to ask you, what is the meaning of Easter? How would you respond? Not what happened, but what does it mean? Now, a few years ago, I posted that question on social media and got all sorts of responses, some from friends inside the church and some from others outside. Some of the responses that I got, one person said it means ham for dinner. Another person says, Jesus is coming, hide the Easter eggs. A lot of folks talked about newness and new life and new beginnings. But the most common answer was that Jesus was resurrected, that he died for my sins and overcame death and sin forever, and that means ultimately that for everyone, we get to go to heaven someday. Well, that may be true. I wonder if in some way, shape, or form that Easter means something else, something different, something bigger than that, not something that might happen later when we die, but that it means something different today, here, now. During this season of Easter, these 50 days, we are looking at what it means to live as resurrection people in this hurting world. What does it mean that Jesus is risen? So now what? What does it mean in terms of my life today, my relationships, my family, the way that I approach the future? The story that we're looking at this morning is from the book of Acts. The book of Acts is sometimes referred to as the Acts of the Apostles. It was written by Luke, sort of a sequel to his gospel. Luke was about the life and the ministry and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And the Acts of the Apostles pick up the story and tells what happens next. How those disciples turned apostles were living out the teachings of Jesus. How they built the church, which is to be the body of Christ at work in the world. The story that you're about to hear is from Acts chapter 3. It tells a story of Peter and John, two of those apostles, and they are on their way to church one afternoon. And they encounter a man whose life, frankly, well, it was a mess. He'd been crippled. He'd been lame since birth. And people would take him every day to the same gate just outside the temple where he would spend the day begging for help from those that were on their way to church.
The reading today comes from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Here begins the reading. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for the alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Here ends the reading. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
These are interesting times, are they not? With the coronavirus, with so many people getting sick, so many others out of work, all of us encouraged, even expected to stay home. These are anxious times. Now, all of us deal with that anxiety, with that stress in different ways. We all have our own way of coping, our own way of dealing with things. Now, in our house, we thought, what can we do to add to that stress? How can we raise the level of anxiety in our home? So we got a puppy. So I want to introduce you this morning to Poppy. She is an 11-week-old border collie that we adopted. As you can see, she's very sweet, very affectionate, and we love her already. Well, most of us do. I want to show you a quick video of Poppy with our other dog, Bella, who turned 12 just this week. And as you can see, she is a little less excited about this new addition to the family. You can see she's kind of looking at me in this video like, you're just going to let her do this to me? You're just going to stand there and watch and do nothing? But I am sure that Poppy will grow on her in time. Bella is being incredibly patient, as you can see. Now, it did make sense to us originally that this was the perfect time to bring home a new puppy, right? I mean, we're all at home all the time. The kids are home from school. We'd have plenty of time to train her and play with her and take her on all sorts of walks. And that has been the case. But I had forgotten, to be completely honest with you, just how stressful it is to train a puppy. It's like this constant level of anxiety that she's going to make a mess at any time, that she's going to piddle on the floor. And so, yes, there have been lots of time for cuddles, but there have also been a lot of puddles in our home right now as we all figure this out. But don't worry, she's training us, at least that's how it seems. But in the meantime, things seem sort of a mess. I think the truth is, whether you have a new puppy at home or not, this pandemic has raised the level of stress and anxiety in our world exponentially. We can feel it. It has shined a light on some of that stress, on some of that anxiety, shined a light on this hurting world. It has exposed some inequalities that maybe we had been aware of, but just had the ability to simply ignore that they were there. But now we can no longer admit that. Some of that is in the world around us, and some of that mess has been seen in our own lives as well. Life seems more messy these days. I've been reading Glennon Doyle's new book, Untamed. It's a great read if you have some extra time on your hands these days, as I suppose you might. And in this book, she tells a story about her recovery, her battle with alcoholism and battling an eating disorder. And she tells a story about going to her fifth meeting. And she spoke up in that meeting and she said, "I'm Glennon and I have been sober for 6 days. And I feel awful. And what I've come to understand," she says, "is that that awfulness is why I started drinking in the first place. But maybe what is broken inside of me," she says, "is not the booze. Maybe it's me." She goes on to say, "It feels like there is some sort of secret to life that everyone seems to know but me." Do you ever feel like that? You ever feel like there's some secret to life that everybody knows except you? I have to be honest, this is a hard time to be on social media, isn't it? Because some people seem to be doing really well with this whole stay-at-home thing. You look at their Facebook page, their Instagram, their Snapchat. You look at all of these things and you think, they've got it easy. Their storyline seems to portray a sense that distance learning is great. It's a piece of cake. My kids are on top of it. I am able to help them with their physics homework. Home projects, my yard has never looked better. You look at them and you think that their family is really connected in this time, that they have learned a foreign language, they've picked up painting, their TikTok dances are on point and have thousands of views. Meanwhile, I'm looking at my life and thinking, this is a mess. Maybe you're thinking, you know, my kids don't listen to me, my family is strained. My family is showing the stress of this. Maybe you're feeling isolated and alone. Maybe you're feeling guilty because you can't seem to get anything done. You can't sleep. You feel unproductive. You see, so often it feels like everyone else knows some secret that we don't. That our life feels like a mess when everybody else seems to have it all put together nicely. And for a lot of us, that feels intensified during these anxious days. You know, the best stories in the Bible have a way of leading us into the story, giving us an opportunity to find ourselves in that story, to see ourselves, to place ourselves in one of those roles. And so I'm wondering where you saw yourself in this story that we heard just a minute ago. What part did you give yourself in that story? Maybe you saw yourself as Peter. Maybe you saw yourself in him. I hear people say all the time, you know, I go to church to get away from the world. It's the best way that I can escape from some of the stress and from some of the worry. I go to church just to get away from all the worries of the world, and I know that we're not able to actually come here in this time, but maybe we worship online, we come in this way so that we can get away from the stress and worries of the world. I have to be honest with you that when I hear people say that, I think that as your pastor, if that's the way that you feel, I'm not doing a very good job. You see, this whole idea of going to church so that you can get away from the worries of the world, that is not exactly biblical theology. We don't come to church to escape from the world. Here are Peter and John, and they're on their way to church, and in that moment, on their way to pray, they are confronted with human need. You see, I think what this story tells us in part is that following Jesus is not a detour around the pain of the world. It's not a detour around the messiness of life. In fact, we are told, we are shown time and time again that following Jesus will lead us right in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the suffering, right in the middle of the mess. So Peter and John encounter this man, and man, his life is a mess. Let me ask you this morning, is there anyone in your life whose life is not going as it should? That they aren't living up to their potential? That they aren't as happy or as successful as they could be, as they should be? Maybe their life is even sort of a mess. And you think to yourself, you know, their life would be so much better if they would just listen to my sage advice. If they would just do what I tell them to do, if they would just listen to me, they would be in such a much better place. We all have people like that in our lives. And we all want, don't we, more than anything else, for them just to listen to us. I mean, we want them to be happy. Don't get me wrong. We want them to be healthy. We want them to be whole. But also we would like them to let us fix their lives. Ultimately, what I have come to realize in 25 years of ministry, 2 marriages, 4 kids, countless blessed friends, is that other people don't belong to me. I don't get to change them. I can inspire them. I can encourage them. I can even rebuke them when it's necessary. But it's not my responsibility to fix them. To love them, yes. To care for them, absolutely. But I don't get to change them. Annika Martins once said, share your talents and your resources. Give generously your time and your attention, but you cannot pour a magic tonic on the wounds of every person walking the planet. That is not your job. And if it were, it would be a sucky job because you would fail at it every single day. The text says that Peter didn't have anything to give him. In other words, he doesn't try to fix him or he doesn't try to heal him or give him some sage advice. He simply offers him his hand. He helps this man up. He simply sees him. He offers him a morsel of hope. And in so doing, it invites him into a new way of living. You see, in that moment, he simply gives him everything that he had. And it was enough. Or maybe you saw yourself not in Peter, but maybe you saw yourself in the person sitting by the gate, the one whose life was a bit of a mess, the person needing help. Maybe you were feeling this morning that life is just passing you by. That everyone else seems to have it all figured out, that they have their lives put together, but your life is just a bit of a mess. And you find yourself believing that there's got to be something better, and you are just waiting for something, for someone to come along and to help you up in that moment. You know, when I read Scripture, my most common prayer is not, help me to be more like the people in the Bible. More often than not, my response is, help me, God, because I am just like the people in the Bible. You see, the Bible is filled with people, with entire communities for whom life is difficult, that life is messy. And maybe this morning you see yourself sitting beside that gate, needing someone to see you, needing someone to offer you a hand. Maybe like Glennon Doyle, the first step is to admit that you are broken, that things are hard, that you don't have it all figured out, that life is messy. She would go on to say later in her book, the book that I was mentioning a moment ago, that she quickly learned that there is no secret to life. That not everybody has it all figured out and everyone seems to know it but her. That simply doesn't exist. But she also goes on to say that she learned 2 other things about the messiness of her life. The first, she said, I can feel everything and still survive. And the second is that I can use that pain to become. I can use the pain in order to become. Catherine of Aragon was the Queen of England in the early 1500s. She was the first wife of King Henry VIII. And she once said, none get to God but through trouble. You see, the truth is, church, that when life falls apart, when things get their most messiest, when life seems to come crashing down around us, that in those moments we are ripe for transformation. We are in those moments ready for healing, for new life, for new birth to take forth within us. I spoke with someone a while back whose life was, well, to be frank, it was a bit of a mess. And this was before the whole pandemic. He rattled off for several minutes about the things that weren't working for him. He's a divorced father of two. The kids stay with their mom. He hardly ever gets to see them. His job is stressful. He's got a new relationship, and it's working out okay, but her life seems to be more of a mess than his. And as we spoke, he simply says, I just want to know where God is in all this. I just want to know where God is in all this. Where can I go to find God and to know and to trust that God is there in that moment? Where can I go to find the love and the life that I so desperately want? I thought for a moment, and then I just simply said, have you looked in the mess? He said, what did you say? I said, I don't think that God waits for everything in our lives to be orderly and calm before God comes to us. In fact, I would think that God comes to us most often when things are at their worst. Isn't that the message of Easter? That in those moments that it feels like that things are at their absolute worst, that they could not get any worse, that in those moments God does God's very best work. Several years ago, Kelly and I were on a honeymoon in the Russian River Valley of Northern California. It's the home of some of the finest wines in the world. And I remember touring one winery. And while we were there, the winemaker pointed up to the mountain above the winery. And on the steep slope of that mountain were these grapevines that were growing out of this harsh, rocky soil. And he explained that those vines produce grapes that are relatively small and that it takes a whole lot of them to produce a barrel of wine. And then he said that the taste, though, from that wine is very complex. It's very deep. It's very enchanting. It's wonderful, he said. And then he said this, and I'll never forget it. The best wines come from vines that were made to suffer. The best wines come from the vines that have been made to suffer. And I think that's true with the human family, isn't it? That no one wants the harsh climate, the soil that we find ourselves in. But each of us has this up-to-us privilege of responding, choosing how we're going to respond in that moment, choosing how we will respond to the mess that we find ourselves in. You see, the best people that I have ever known in my life come from vines of suffering. And they made of that suffering something complex, something deep, something enchanting, something wonderful. You see, church, there is no way around the pain, the suffering, the messiness of life. There's no way around it, but there is always a way through it. Is your life a bit of a mess these days? The invitation of Easter, the invitation to be a resurrection people, is to believe that God is in those moments, that God is in the mess, grieving with us, shedding tears with us, feeling that pain and that turmoil, living in the midst of that mess, and that inviting us to see that something good can come from even this. Something good can come from even this. Amen. So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are, or where you come from, or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.